Every year on October the 17th, we mark the International Day for the Eradication of Poverty. Recognised by the United Nations in 1992, this day is celebrated throughout the world. But the first commemoration of the event took place in Paris in 1987, when 100,000 people gathered on the Human Rights and Liberties Plaza to honour victims of poverty, hunger, violence and fear. The day was inspired by the life and by the work of Father Joseph Rosinski, the founder of the Fourth World Movement. I spoke to Reverend Nick Edwards, chair of the ADT Fourth World UK Movement, about this annual observance and its significance. But first of all, I asked him to talk to me a little about Father Joseph Rosinski himself.
He was born of migrant parents in Angers in France and grew up in a family that suffered chronic poverty and exclusion. His mum sent him to church to serve at the altar as a little boy, and well, clearly that had a huge impact on him. A very kindly priest, he was ordained into the Catholic Church in 1946 and worked in industrial and poor parishes. But critically, in 1956, he was asked to go and be a chaplain to about 250 families living in temporary accommodation at a place called Noisy-le-Grand, just outside Paris. They were in Nissen huts in a muddy field. And he, speaking of that, said it inspired everything that he undertook subsequently, trying to work with the needs of those families. Not in terms of charity as such, but just in terms of trying to get alongside them and develop the work. I mean, in a sense, the soup kitchens and the second-hand clothes markets were replaced by libraries and workshops and kindergartens and the beginning of a volunteer corps.
He was also the founder of this ATD, Fourth World Movement. I understand that ATD means Aide à toute détresse. Can you tell me about the movement itself?
Yeah, that was its original name. It's been shortened to ATD Carmond, or Fourth World. Fourth World being the very poorest in society. And the movement arose out of the work in Noisy-le-Grand. Père Joseph invited people to come and volunteer to work with him on the basis that the important thing was to try and mobilise all sections of society around the poorest in order to allow them to develop their own voice, to speak for themselves, to be recognised and included and participate in society, putting the poorest first, if you like, because they understand poverty better than anyone else. I mean, from that has arisen a whole movement, which is now global, with working in about over 30 countries across all continents, with about 380 volunteers worldwide. To try and describe the movement as such, it's not a charity as such, providing relief to the poor. It's volunteers living and working in the communities in which the poorest people live, taking a human rights approach to their condition, working with them and supporting them on a grassroots basis in rural and urban areas, with the aim of creating awareness, changing the way in which poverty is seen, changing people's own conditions by their own efforts, wherever possible.
You say changing the way poverty is seen. How can we do that?
Well, I think by engaging people with the poorest. That's at the heart of ATD's way of looking at the world. I mean, it's very easy to look from the outside and as policymakers or as individuals to say, well, this is why poverty happens and this is what we should do. But the poorest people are the people who understand best why they're in the situation they're in. And it's out of that engagement in communities, hearing people's stories, enabling them to tell their own stories, taking them into the places where they can meet with people who make the policies and develop our understanding of poverty, that we believe that real change can come in the world.
Now, poverty isn't just not knowing where you get your next meal. It means being deprived of the control over your own life, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And that's why it would be conceived by us as a breach of basic human rights. Poverty deprives people of the capacity to participate, to be masters of their own destiny, to do all that they might do as human beings. So one of the things that Father Joseph said was that he believed in a world where everybody could give the best of themselves before dying, and that's exactly what's precluded by extreme poverty. I mean, just in terms of definition, I think what we're looking at is that kind of long-standing generational poverty which traps people in a circumstance and deprives them of any capacity of fully participating in the world in which they live. And, of course, so many of the world's population find themselves in that predicament once you get beyond the basic fundamental absoluteness of poverty. The story that people tell is a very similar one across the world and across cultures of not being able to be included and recognized for their humanity and their dignity.
It's terrible that so many children who are born into poverty don't manage to come out of it. It's a circle, isn't it?
It is always a vicious circle, and if you look at the UNICEF figures, they are quite horrendous in terms of child death and their deprivation and they're not counting. I think that's perhaps the way of doing it. They're not figuring in the world of which they are part, who live and die invisibly in the world, unnoticed in their passage through life. And in many ways, that just mirrors the predicament of poor people across the world. They're outside the frame of our purview of the world and what goes on in it. They don't figure, they're not seen, but they're there. And it's that a desire to make it possible for them to participate and be included, which I think we believe would radically change the world in which we live.
The word poverty, the concept poverty, fills the mouths of so many politicians, of so many people who get up on podiums and talk about the need to tackle root causes, etc. But maybe we think more of people in developing countries. In actual fact, so many people in the rich West are very, very poor. I think the gap is increasing between the rich and the poor. Who are the poor of today?
They are, I suspect, very much the poor of yesterday and probably the poor of tomorrow also. Again, I'm just sort of quoting Father Joseph. He talked about them being at the end of your street, just around the corner, nearby. They are the people who, for all sorts of reasons, are trapped in this incapacity to participate. I mean, it is getting worse, there is no doubt about that, and it's not just the current global economic crisis. As you rightly say, the disparity between the richest and the poorest is ever increasing, and the willingness to engage with the issue of poverty in the poorest is it seems, I think, diminishing, and that's why trying to bring it constantly to people's attention is so important. I guess we also need to have an understanding that there is, if you like, the long-term, I don't like the word underclass, but the people at the bottom of society, and of course that's being added to now by people who are being precipitated into poverty by economic circumstance. Some of them will escape when things change, but many will remain.
What meaning does a day such as this have?
I think it's essential that to have in the world a day where we gather around the poorest, where we recognise that poverty exists and that it is a scandal in the world in which we live. Again, Father Joseph said that poverty was created by people and only people can resolve it. The actual day emerged because in 1987, on the 17th of October, 100,000 people from all over the world gathered at the Plaza of Human Rights in Paris, where a stone was placed on that plaza, which obviously is a very significant, iconic kind of place, which had the words, "Wherever men and women are condemned to live in poverty, human rights are violated. To come together to ensure that these rights be respected is our solemn duty." Arising out of that gathering, which was quite extraordinary, thereafter the United Nations in 1992 declared the 17th of October as the United Nations Day for the Eradication of Poverty, and the Charter of the United Nations was changed to include poverty as a fundamental breach of human rights. And so on that day now, across the world, in cities, towns, up and down nations, people gather, sometimes around a facsimile stone, sometimes just to have gatherings and conferences and meetings around the whole issue of poverty and the struggle to change the world in which we live, so that we can conceive of the possibility of eradicating it. It's not a pie-in-the-sky desire. I mean, it is a possibility within human culture and society if we choose that it be our priority.
No, absolutely. With all the means we have today, as you say, it's a scandal that poverty still exists, but more and more of it is to be seen on our doorstep. Also, with all the refugees who are fleeing conflict and poverty in their own lands, it's more and more evident to each and every one of us. What are your hopes for the near future, shall we say?
In one sense, it is just that people as individuals and that policymakers and the people who can make a difference, and everybody can make a difference in some way, will actually engage with the issue of poverty and not see it as insurmountable, not see it as something that doesn't affect them, because obviously it can do. It can come to any house or any doorstep in time, to understand that it is something to do with intrinsic human dignity, that we should be able to enjoy life. But in so doing that, also to see that in order for that to happen, what must be the case is that our thinking and our action about poverty are not remote from the people who are poor. They are the people most capable of enabling us, by working together with them, of changing the world, to make a difference to the world in which we live. And we can't do that without the poorest, because it's their voice, it's their experience, above all things, which will make the change. I can't change the world on my own, but I certainly can't change the face of poverty in the human world unless we include the poorest as full participant members of the society in which we live. And that's what the whole of the movement ATD Fourth World is geared towards. It's that ability for people to speak for themselves, to determine their own lives and to be participant. And it's helping that process to be created by creating meeting points for people.
Thank you very, very much indeed. Is there anything you would like to add?
Only to encourage people to engage with people where they are, the people who are in their street or just around the corner, as well as with those who have the capacity to bring social change. I mean, it's a mixture of just having that human contact on one level, so that we don't talk in a remote way, but at the same time also using whatever means at our disposal to try and lobby for or bring change in whatever way we can for our brothers and sisters and their children who find themselves in poverty.
That means not just dropping a coin in their cup, but maybe looking at them in the eyes, talking to them and engaging in a direct way as well. Am I right?
Absolutely. That's the difference, and that's what will change things one day. Because as soon as we do that, then we recognise them and we recognise their dignity as being exactly the same as ours, and that we have a common cause.